I was breathing. Is that okay?
Yes, I heard you breathing. You're not allowed to breathe ever again. Right? That's against the lab policy. Welcome to episode 178 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Philip Barton.
As usual, any links we talk about will be available on the show page, where you can also catch the other episodes. And you can find all of that by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. Speaking of the other episodes, I have a co-host. This is an experiment we're going to do. He's available for the summer. My brother, Phil Barton. Say hi.
Hi.
I need to catch you up. Somehow squeeze 177 episodes worth of stuff into this single episode. The show started, I was just sort of floating around. I didn't really fall into the main line of research until about episode 35. Whoa. And you're not there yet, right? Mm. So
No.
And I was just sort of hitting some of my favorite bits of scientific trivia. But starting at about episode 35, I started to investigate the mind. What is it? Where did it come from? Could we build one? So when I finally settled down on that one line of research, I started by looking at the history where brains came from. And started, I sort of tongue-in-cheek, how to make a mind. Part one. Take the universe, give it 13 or 14 billion years, and hey, there you go.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Whole universe.
So that was doing a little cosmology. Where did the universe come from? What is this Big Bang thing? Why did we think there was a Big Bang? Then we got to the formation of the solar system. And then the formation of the Earth, the arrival of our moon, the arrival or like the biggest the favorite theory is that our Earth got hit by something roughly the size of Mars, and the result of that was and is our moon.
So that's pretty big.
Yeah. Decent size.
Hangs out there, not made of cheese.
It's the biggest satellite compared to its primary, what it's orbiting in our solar system.
We win.
Yeah, I guess so. There are moons that are bigger, just plain old bigger, but they're orbiting around things like Jupiter and Saturn and so forth, which are many times larger than they are.
Did you get into, out of curiosity, we got smacked into, why didn't we end up with rings instead of this big chunk of moon?
Well, presumably it was rings at one point.
Oh.
But I don't actually know. The billions of years. 2 days later. Right, and then we get into natural history. Start talking about the history of life. Earth has been around for 4.5 billion years, give or take. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry. Oh. I was drinking coffee and trying not to screw up your show.
Right. I lost my place.
See how I screwed it up anyway?
Yeah. This is your special mutant power. Anyway, Earth is about 4.5 billion years old, and somewhere between 2 and 3 billion years ago, depending upon which fossil you believe, life shows up. And for anywhere from 1 to 3 billion years, again, depending upon which fossils you believe, the whole story was about single-celled critters.
And in all their glory.
In all their glory. And it was funny, when I was doing that, you happened to be taking biology at the time. So if I wanted to talk about, the smooth reticulum, it's awesome, I could call up my brother and talk about how awesome the smooth reticulum is. And
I'd actually be able to follow you.
Yeah.
However, that class is over, so I'm pretty sure that I brain dumped it all. Although I remember there was a reticulum. Smooth and not sticky. What's the word? Rough. Rough endoplastic reticulum or whatever.
Yeah, whenever you're looking up, you're going to learn some polysyllabic words. Oh, yeah. I was struck when I was doing that. I was struck by when I was doing that how amazingly complicated even the simplest single cell is. Even prokaryotes, no nucleus. Mm. Yeah, little complicated little machines. that are factories to build other little factories that build other little factories.
They love reproducing. That's their shtick. They're like, don't they outweigh us?
I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be surprised. I know bacteria outnumbers everything else. It's just there's so many of them. And they may, in fact, just like if you took all the bacteria on the planet, it wouldn't surprise me to find out that they outweigh us. I mean, you think about just the bacteria in the soil, and the whole planet's covered with dirt.
Mm-hmm.
So
we got bacteria in us, on us.
Of us.
There's important bacteria in the cow's stomach that lets it digest grass, which is important.
Yeah, and this was one of the first places where I started running into how important symbiosis is in evolution. Darwin's original theory was all about winner take all and emphasized competition much more than cooperation. But cooperation seems to be at least as important as competition when you start to look at the history. In fact, without some sort of cooperation, you never get to multicellular critters.
Hmm. Yeah, I think of sponges. Did that in science class. I think every science class does it at one point. Take a sponge and you press it through cheesecloth and it turns into a cloudy water. And then you let it sit and eventually you end up with a sponge again. All the little cells find their place again.
Oh, neat.
It's a colonial organism.
There was an experiment done with yeast. A guy would shake up the container and then let it settle for a while. And then he'd take the yeast that were on the bottom and put them in another culture and, you know, lather, rinse, and repeat. Within about 3 months, he had yeast that were multicellular.
Whoa.
Yeah, and he took individual yeast cells from those sort of, he called them snowballs, and cultured them, and they had lost the ability to exist as single cells. Every single one of them turned into another snowball.
Well, I'll be. You see how the beginning of that experiment was shaking something up, though? I mean, as a scientist, that's where you start. And I remember, once upon a time, there was a lava lamp that belonged to the girlfriend.
Oh, and I should not it. Have... you did that too, huh?
Yes. And, you know, I thought eventually it would become a lava lamp again. And it never did quite... It never quite fixed itself. She was angry. But I'm a scientist.
I like to shake things. Right, so then we get to multicellular creatures. And in the fossil record, what we see first are what they call trace fossils. Just basically, here are their burrows, right?
This is where they were. No bits of them.
Yeah,
occasionally
they find a body fossil, you know, the actual critter fossilized at the end of one of these trails. The interesting bit is that at first, these trails are really monotonous. They just go back and forth. Some critter just sort of grazing on the algal mats that were around. And then at a certain point, the tracks become more complicated. They're going up and down, they're going back and forth, and there's spots where they seem to have taken an erratic path. And the theory is that they were trying to dodge a predator at the time.
Huh. Well, that sounds like a good theory. I wonder if it's just following the food, you know?
The food got all squiggly?
Well, yeah, because when they first popped in, you know, there was layers and layers of algae, and all they had to do was go back and forth and feed themselves till kingdom come. But as more of them would grow, I'm sure they started competing and they'd have to get more creative.
Shortly after that bit, we get to the Cambrian, which is the start of the... Do you care about these terms, really?
Paleozoic, Cambrian. Well, I'll go ahead and say them. Yeah, I mean, your target audience will care.
Cambrian. Cambrian. Right about then, we get a... they even call it the Cambrian explosion. There's suddenly a whole lot of different animal types in the fossil record.
Okay.
One of the theories of what drove that evolutionary explosion was, hey, they'd invented eyes.
Oh. They can see. We're off.
Yeah.
What's over there? And the trilobites are there. Okay.
Anyways. No, they're not. Wait. No, you're totally right. The trilobites show up in the Cambrian. And hang around for about 170 million years. towards the end of the Cambrian, everybody dies, right? Mass extinction. And the Ordovician comes around, and everybody who had survived spread out and diversified. And then everybody dies, and then everybody diversifies. There's a pattern here going back and forth. Then plants start showing up on the earth, on the dry land. There was a time when most plants weren't taller than a few inches at most, right? But there's this weird, gigantic, 30-foot-tall sort of fungus thing. Those were the big guys at the time. Then trees get invented. Good for trees.
Yeah, so many questions about why this stuff happened, but that's okay. Anyways, yay trees.
Questions are good. Yay trees.
Well, I mean, so you've got this 30-foot fungal mossy thing, and I'm sure it's doing well for itself. And why do we suddenly need a thing that's rooted in the ground? And it's not like a fungus can move anywhere either, but I don't know.
Why the trees instead of the fungus?
Why
the trunk? Actually, that thing I'm talking about, it was in one of the episodes, not too far back, a few episodes back. They're not even sure if it was a fungus or a moss or something called a liverwort.
Okay, yeah, that sounds gross.
yummy, liverworts. But you can see why trees happened in general. Like if you're competing with your fellow plants for some sunlight, hey, be the tallest plant.
That makes sense. I mean,
first few trees were, they spread by spores rather than seeds.
Weird.
Yeah, relatives of the ferns. Got like 90 feet tall.
I always liked ferns. I mean, but a 90-foot tall fern, there's your house. You don't have to do anything.
I live in Ferndale.
Okay.
Yeah, and so then there were a couple of more ice ages. That's another, the continents are moving around during all of this time. And every now and then, a significant chunk of land would wander over one of the poles. You'd usually get rocks that indicate that there was ice and a drop in sea level. And the first few big die-offs mainly affected the oceans, which makes sense because that's mainly where everybody was living. There wasn't much on the land yet to die.
Didn't you want a time-lapse for continental drift?
Oh, yes. I still want that. I did run across a website, and I'll put a link on the show page, that will show you how the continents were arranged up to 770 million years ago. You can even look up your address. So I'll stick a link on there, and we can play with it later.
And I ran into a few links here, too. I don't know if I'll pick the best one and send it to you after we're done with the show.
Oh, about the same thing?
Yeah. Earth's paleontology, continental movements through time.
Ah. Right, so
I'm sure something dies.
Towards the end of the Devonian, there was a major die-off.
I knew it.
You called it. And the forest changed. The seed-bearing trees started to do much better than the spore spreaders. And then we get into the Carboniferous, which is where most of our coal comes from.
And again, why are the seeds doing so well? A spore is a resilient son of a buck.
It really is. I'm confused on that, actually. A moisture thing, maybe? I mean, if you have a seed, you can give your prospective progeny a little extra energy.
Oh, actually, that's a good point. Yeah, they get beginning food.
And there was some drying out that was going around at the same time. So
not like spores went away. The ferns.
Oh, no, there are still plenty of things that spread by spores. I don't know if there's any tree-style plants that spread by spores anymore. I'm not a botanist. What can I say?
Botanists are overrated anyways.
Botanists are overrated.
Always hanging out in the greenhouse. What you got in that pipe there, Santa?
So that's about where we are. I mean, like, then we get these fish. Hello, fish. the tetrapods, right? They had a couple of fins towards their head and a couple of fins further back on their body. So they got the four limbs. And the current consensus seems to be that they started walking around on the bottom of bodies of water before they ever started climbing out of the water. Now, you see other shows on evolution, they tend to stick to the track that got to us. Yeah. When those fish started climbing out on the water, there was already all sorts of life on the land. Right?
Like insect type stuff?
Insects, insects show up a little bit after trees do.
That kind of makes, well, I don't know about trees, but I know, you know, bees and flowers, that's a big deal.
Bees and flowers, that didn't happen until towards the end of the dinosaurs.
Oh, we got a ways to go.
But the whole cooperation between insects or small arthropods and plants, that started in the Devonian and has never stopped. It's a co-evolution.
It's funny to note that, you know, well, you started at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
And the amount of time that got covered before we started talking about critters versus the amount of time we're covering right now when we're talking so long about it is like night and day. I mean,
yeah, the first few billion years, nothing much happened.
And then all of a sudden life, and now we can talk for half an hour, hour.
Yeah, well, we could talk all night. I mean, I haven't even talked about the therapsids or the Dimetrodon or the cynoids or all that. That's another pattern I've seen. Like in the Carboniferous, we had as much oxygen as we've ever had, 35%, as compared to 21% today.
Okay.
And we got really damn big bugs in that period. There was a millipede or centipede relative that got to 6 feet long and about a foot and a half across in the body.
Suddenly have a desire to raise insects in an oxygen-saturated environment.
Just to see how big that is. You don't think that's maybe the worst idea you've ever had?
What? No, I mean, those old movies about giant ants are just, they're garbage.
No, I think they're inspirational.
We could get an ant that big.
And that's a thing that keeps happening every single time. It's like some critter finds a niche. They usually start off as some 6-inch long squiggly thing. Mm. And then they get huge and they weigh tons. And so there seems to be an advantage to being a big-bodied critter.
Oh, yeah, you're scary looking.
There's no guarantee that any particular critter will evolve towards large size. I'll tell you something that's really consistent, though. If there is a die-off, and you are the big critter, you're gone.
Oh, yeah, nothing to eat. Poor guys.
Yeah, poor guys.
I can see the crying T-Rex right now.
We're still before dinosaurs, actually.
I know.
Go through the Carboniferous, I keep saying that, Carboniferous. And then we get into the Permian. Which is
the Permian.
Yeah, this is when the tetrapods got big, like 10 feet long, 2-3 tons. Then the Permian ended, and just take a guess at what happened.
Everybody died.
Everybody died. The biggest die-off in the fossil record at the end of the Permian, which then sets up the Mesozoic, which is the age of the lizards. It's when dinosaurs and birds arrived on the scene. And I thought that started in the Triassic. But apparently the dinosaurs didn't show up until the late Triassic. Yeah, as like the first 30 million years or so of the Triassic was just this sort of awful desert disaster had struck landscape. But I haven't done any episodes on that yet, so we'll talk about that next time. See you then.